Matthew chapter 11. We started a teaching last week that the Lord just gave me that day, I believe, that night before, that I want to just review what we covered last week just briefly and carry on this message that I think is a message for right now. But it's not an easy one. Remember, I'm not called to pat heads. I'm called to stretch souls and train us up for the glory. And listen, if we were already ready for the glory, we'd be in it. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. He's waiting for us to prepare, to learn, to apply. It says in Matthew chapter 11, are you there? Jesus speaking in verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Yes.
Now listen, we can tap into the rest of the world, of the natural, and we can tap into the rest that's supernatural, that's of God. So when Jesus said, "I'll give you rest," he was talking about something beyond what the world can provide. If the world had it available, we wouldn't need Jesus. But I believe everything he gives us is supernatural in content, right? So we started talking about how we're programmed as human beings to look for rest for our souls. We're programmed to try to find a rest point for our minds, not just physically. Understand, we need physical rest, but we need mental rest as well.
Yes.
I mean, I woke up at 3:30 this morning, and I was awake. Hadn't had a nap that day, but I was awake. And so I got in the Word, got in prayer, went up and cleaned on the man castle some. I don't have a cave, I have a castle. And I've not been to bed, I laid down for a nap, but I've not been asleep more than maybe 15 minutes or something. Since 3:30 last night. And one of the reasons I couldn't sleep was my mind wouldn't shut down. I've got a things to do list about 1,200 items long. I've got things pressing from different directions, as we all do. And not to mention the things in the Word I'm getting. And my mind was just... And I thought, I need rest for my soul. I need something to tap in here and give me some relaxation here. And so what I do, I get in the Word, I get in prayer. For one reason, I can't turn on Andy Griffith in the middle of the night and wake up Patty and the dogs and I'll be in trouble. But our souls are many times get weighed down with the cares of this world.
Yes.
Right? Our things to do list. Our challenges. Our responsibilities we feel we have to make everybody happy. Any regrets and fears that we're, you know, facing or entertaining. And these things just tend to keep our minds stressed, unrest, even worry if you're not careful. And I wasn't worrying last night, I just kept thinking of new stuff. And that's why I write things down, because once I write it down, I don't think about it anymore. I have lots of lists. So we're trained to find rest, and of course we talked about it last week. We tend to try to find rest out of hobbies, activities, television, social media, sports activities, or watching them or whatever. And just to disconnect our mind from all the things that are going on around us. How many feel right now maybe you're the busiest you've ever been? I've been doing this a while, and I still feel like I'm the busiest with all the things I've got to do than I've ever been. It's like Patty's list never goes down. I put in that new patio expansion for my trailer today. I called Patty, "Do you want to see this?" She walks in, she starts pointing to me things I need to do yet. "You could trim those branches. You need to cut those low hanging branches and stuff." New assignments.
Gotta keep you busy.
It's just whatever jumps her head. I told you I could do that. Anyway, she's worth it. And we try to find something to disconnect from the demands. But everything we usually tend to disconnect from, we pick up something that's natural. You follow me? I mean, you know, watching Andy Griffith or Beverly Hillbillies or whatever old shows or new shows you want to watch, binge watching something just to disconnect your mind. And that's not the rest Jesus talked about. You follow me? And so other people, they go into recreation, buying and selling drugs and alcohol, something trying to find some peace. And I want to tap into the peace that God has.
Amen.
Look at Philippians chapter 4. We went here last week, but I want you to see this again because it's really a building block for where we're going. Verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So God says, when you're under stress, don't worry. Pray. Praise, thanksgiving. Take a step toward the kingdom of heaven versus the worrying about everything. And look what it says. Verse 7. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here it says there's a peace that passes understanding. Now, I know there's a bazillion people in the world that shouldn't be that many, but a lot of people that have studied psychology, how the mind works, you know, how the mind will try to escape things, different neurosis of the soul. And I have no doubt they understand people's desire to escape from reality. I mean, some people do it in books, fantasy books, whatever books, romance books. They get in the book and they're just escaping their normal day-to-day life. And psychiatrists know that. So these things cannot be the peace that passes understanding because they understand that.
That's true.
If they got, you know, PhD, doctor of psychology, if they've got that, they've studied these things. They know that. And God says, I've got something beyond that.
Yes.
That they can't understand. They can't understand how you can be under such challenges in your life that you're walking around with a smile. So many things pulling on you and demanding on you and trying to pull you down. And you just praise God. You thank God. But out of that, it's more than what you do. It's what it produces. And God says it will produce a peace that passes understanding. And part of our transitioning to go into the glory, I believe, is God transitioning us from worldly escape to supernatural access. Tapping into a peace that's beyond what the world can produce. Now, I can tell you right now, China was talking about our online prayer sessions a while ago. And I mentioned it many times. We did it for, 16, 17 years?
When I first come there, I was there.
We did it for 15 years. You've been, 15 years. Anyway, we've been gone a year or so. You've been with us 16. We just started this, so we use your time, TV. 15 years we did online prayer on Friday nights. I'd say we did 95% of them.
Yes.
We hardly ever missed. Very rarely. Ice storm or something, you know. And I never felt like going to any of them. I lived half an hour away. We started at 10 or 11 at night. We started at 11 and we moved it to 10. And at 10 o'clock at night, I got to get ready, or 10:30, I got to drive to Georgetown, thinking, no, I don't feel like it. But I'd get here, we'd put on some praise music,
yes.
We start glorifying God, and something hit us. I called it the caffeine anointing.
Yes.
It passed understanding.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was beyond my comprehension,
yes,
of how it happened. Worked all day. I'm very common for me to get up in the middle of the night and just stay up. And it would hit. And I'm wide awake. We're all wide awake. And we pray under the energy of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And a peace would hit us where we'd enter that don't mess with me zone. That it would hit that I couldn't explain.
Right.
I can't explain six of us caught up in a common vision at one time. It happened. I can't explain pouring water into a cup and it overflows and stands up on this map we put up there. Stood up on it. Supernatural. Just encounter after encounter with the power and glory of God. That passed understanding. God says, I want my people to live in that. But, you see, I had a choice. China, how many times did I ever call and say, I'm not coming to prayer tonight, I don't feel like it?
I don't remember any.
None? Never did it. No. I was out of town, maybe, but if I was here, I went to prayer. Never wanted to, but every time I did, God showed up.
Yes.
And if we're going to the glory, we've got to learn how to escape the natural worldly methods to get away or produce soul rest. I tap into God's. Is this okay with you so far? You got to be willing to shut it down. Oh, that's where I was going. At those nights, those Friday nights, I had a choice.
Yeah.
I could call somebody and say, I want you to take prayer tonight. I'm too tired to come. And I could have stayed home and watched, you know, old Westerns. Penn and I like old Westerns. Especially the black and white. Black and white Westerns were the best. And watched one last night. It wasn't so good, though. It was a Gregory Peck. It was color. That was the reason it was color. Anyway, I could have stayed home and watched Westerns for the next hour, maybe two, skipped prayer, and went to bed, disconnected for that time, went to sleep, and not be changed whatsoever. Just a few hours of escape. But coming to prayer, it was way beyond a few hours of escape. It carries for days. And it would stay on us. We'd be caught up the next Saturday. Saturday was usually like, wow, still. And it was supernatural refreshing. Explain to me how you stay up for 20 straight hours or more. And you get up the next morning at 9 or 10 and you feel like you had a great night's sleep. Sure was. Sure she was. Feel like you'd been to sleep all night. Supernatural rest. Supernatural peace. And God's calling us to move into it. Let's go to some new verses this week we didn't go to last week. Turn to Isaiah chapter 48. And I'll get there eventually. Let's read at verse number 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. That would be the word, wouldn't it? Not only that, that's God's way of doing things. Had you not, only if you'd have done it my way. Can we just put it that way? If only you'd have done it my way. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Peace as a river. Now again, it was probably about 1987. I was at home praying. I got to Ezekiel chapter 47. And I'm reading about the river of God flowing from the temple of God. Wherever that river went, it produced revival, healing, restoration. And I'm reading about it. God said, you remember when you were young, you wanted to be a pioneer? I said, yes, Lord. He said, I put that in you. He said, and if you will follow me and trust me, I'm going to let you pioneer the river of God to the end times. I agreed. And I'm telling you, I believe what we study now is part of that, God opening it up, the word to me. Pioneering the word, the river. In fact, he gave me another word on that in 2010. And so, I believe that river is our source of supernatural peace. Now, I have to admit, Patty's stretching me again right now. It's one of the most disliked time of the year for me. It's Shark Fest week. 3 weeks. 2 weeks are Shark Week.
Now, 1 week is Shark Week, 2 weeks is Shark Fest.
Okay. So shark shows for the next 3 weeks. She reports them all. If I come in, she's watching sharks. She likes so much when I eat people. And so I'm submitted to 3 weeks of sharks. Not just 3 weeks, because she records them all. I got to watch it about the next 4 months. Then the Christmas season hits, we start with Hallmark. Anyway, I grew up scuba diving. My dad worked with some divers. We lived pretty close to a phenomenal clear water lake, Smith Lake in Alabama. And 500 miles of coastline. Fairly new lake at the time. And you could see on and on in that lake if you got to the right areas. And we'd scuba dive it. So I grew up snorkeling, scuba diving, and did so clear up, you know. Before I moved to Kentucky, I didn't get to do it as much. And the most peaceful thing in the natural I could do was go underwater. There was a clear water rock quarry near where I lived, about 30 feet deep. I'd swim down on the thing about 15, 20 feet deep and sit on the bottom. There's no disturbance, there's no distraction. I'm looking at fish, I had a spear gun. But just total tranquility under that place. And I'm watching Shark Week, and I'm seeing this clear water, these scenes of the fish and everything. I'm thinking, and somebody showed today, she was watching, said, underwater's the most peaceful place you can be. I agree with that in the natural. It was my place I wanted to be was underwater. And God's got better than that. He's got a river of peace we can dive in. We can live in. We can. I mean, how long can you hold your breath? Just go on down. Experience that. But we got to want it. We got to be willing to go after it, dive into it, and to disconnect from one and go to the other. Now, Jesus said this, listen, you cannot serve God and mammon. We know mammon is a representation of earthly money. God said, you can serve my system, or you can serve the monetary system of the world. But it's more than that. Mammon is a system. It represents the natural.
Yes.
And you can live out of the natural, or you can live out of the kingdom. And you can't do both. You can't serve both. You got to make a decision. Shut one down. Let me restate that. Start weaning off of it. That's what we said last week. Weaning off of one to develop dependency upon the other. And so, you know, I don't watch so much television anymore or today. But if I do, I'm turning on something Christian teaching to feed me versus entertain me. Amen. Weaning from one to get into the other. To tap into the peace that passes knowledge that I'm feeling right now. Anybody feel peace right now?
Yes. Amen.
Father, release it upon us heavier.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 54. Now I'm going to teach something here that I've taught on here recently. But for the sake of this, what we're teaching now, I believe it fits right in. Isaiah 54. Look at verse 10. For the mountain shall depart. That's anything standing in your way, I'm telling you. The mountain shall depart. And the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that is mercy on thee. God says, I've given you a covenant of peace. Now, we know covenant is a contract with regard to relationship. It's a settled declaration or agreement that is to be unbroken for life. It's not if you feel like it or not. It's a covenant thing. You follow me? When God told me to do all my prayer, it wasn't a suggestion. It was an order. So I had a covenant responsibility to be there. And I feel as soon as we can, we have a covenant responsibility to start it again. And so God says, I've given you a covenant of peace. In other words, what I'm telling you, God's saying, is unbreakable. And if you do your part, I'll do my part. I will uphold my end of it.
Yes.
Amen. Now, with that in mind, turn to Matthew chapter 27. Again, I believe I was here a few weeks ago. Matthew chapter 27. Are you there?
Yes.
Now, this is Jesus on the cross and is telling all the things they did. Let's start at verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him. Put on him a scarlet robe. They stripped him. That's where he was made poor, that we could be made rich. They took everything he had. They took all his clothes. And when they plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, left him naked, and put his own raiment on him. Well, they dressed him back in his own, led him away to crucify him. Jesus went through all these tortures to purchase something for us. Right? Plucked his beard. But it says here that they wove or braid, a crown of thorns. I believe they were big thorns. Maybe they were honey locusts from Kentucky. You've ever seen any Kentucky honey locust trees? They got thorns this long, maybe longer. They branch out. And I'm careful around those trees. I've probably backed into one or time or two, but we had them on our farm. And of course, we take the thorns, make spears out of them as a kid. They braided this crown of thorns and crammed it on his head. And I believe he's purchasing for us this peace.
Yeah.
See, the soul is where there's torment. The soul is where there's, you know, pressure, hardship, worry,
yes.
Fears.
Yes.
And if you look in Genesis, when God cursed the earth, he says, "Thorns and thistles shall it bring up now."
Mm-hmm.
Through Adam's transgression. And thorns are a representation of the curse. And when they put the crown of thorns on Jesus' head, they virtually gave a representation of the curse upon his soul. And through that he purchased for us a covenant of peace. Now, you don't read a whole lot of covenant declarations that Jesus bought for us. But God brings out more than once, we have a covenant of peace. Covenant. How many believe we have a covenant of salvation?
Amen.
How about a covenant of healing?
Yes.
Anybody beside me serve God for a while, knowing about the covenant of salvation, but we didn't know about the covenant of healing?
Yes, me.
Several, probably. Nearly everybody here. You heard about salvation, but not healing.
Right,
yeah. You had to learn about it to tap into it.
Yeah.
Then we found we have a covenant of prosperity.
Yeah.
Right? Deuteronomy 8:18.
Right.
You need power to get wealth. Then I might establish my covenant. We have a covenant of wealth. How many, once you heard about healing, had not heard about prosperity?
Right now.
But once it was revealed, you get a chance to tap into it. Now we're finding there's a covenant of peace. Now chances are you didn't tap into supernatural healing and supernatural prosperity when you didn't know about it.
Right
now. But once you heard about it, you had a responsibility then to tap into it. And now we find there's a covenant of peace. We have an opportunity and a responsibility to tap into it. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Please don't lift your hands right now. But how many of you, without lifting your hand, entertain worry and fear at times? If nothing else, the self-condemnation, the isolation of the enemy, the bombardments, the feeling unworthy, whatever it might be, those are all parts of the curse.
Yes.
And Jesus gave us a covenant of peace. We can live above that. But again, it requires disconnecting from one, weaning off of one, and moving into the other. So you shut down the tablet for a while, or the TV for a while, or watch something that's not entertainment focused, but training focused, fueling focused. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I believe there's not much you can do more powerful to tap into to the anointings of God than pray in the Spirit. Shonda, Shonda, tie my bow tie. Thank you for the peace. Activate it. Well, I'm just comfortable where I'm at. I know you're surviving where you're at, but God's got better.
Yeah.
There's a river we can live out of, and it's good. I've been. China, is it good?
It's good.
Connie, is it good?
Hi.
Can anybody else confess the river's good?
Yes.
We've many of it been in it. But you know, cares of this life tend to strand us on dry land.
Yes.
Time to get back in. Look at Matthew chapter 10. I want you to see this. Are you there? And here Jesus is, in this chapter, he chooses 12 disciples. He sends them out two by two. He tells them, don't take anything, no money, you know, one coat, pair of shoes or whatever. Don't pack like a lot of people do when they're going for a two-day trip. It takes 5 suitcases. We won't say who that I know does that. He says, go on out. And he says, when you go to a house, if they receive you, stay there. Look at verse number 13. Verse 12. And when you come into a house, salute it. Greet it. I don't know what's contained in this salute, but I believe there's something about raising the money. There's something about connecting that house you're going to stay in with God's system. More than, hey, house, how are you, house? Now, there's something you're releasing at this time. He says, if a house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Now, what an interesting verse. The house, and it's not the house, it's the people of the house, right? It's the owners of the house. If it's worthy, let your peace rest upon it. Apparently, Jesus was instructing the disciples, there's a peace that passes knowledge you can carry and release where you go. Now, here's the question. How many Christians know about this? They've read it. They've explained it away somehow. You know, well, you know, let the Holy Ghost come in. We have authority to release His peace. See, you're coming out of the river into this house. You're still dripping wet with it. Did you read the story about the woman shot her husband because he tracked him on his her wet floor? Everybody seen that one? Okay, we'll skip that. Well, I got to finish it, don't I? The police were called about this woman that shot her husband. And it turns out he walked down on her wet floor, tracked up her wet floor. So the chief of police got there and says, well, have you gone in and arrested her yet? And he says, no, the floor's still wet. You can bring your peace and drip in that house, he's saying. Let your peace set upon it. And if it's not worthy, call it back. Somehow you can call back the puddle of peace you just left on the house. There must be more to peace than we've been giving it just kind of a tranquil feeling. There must be a supernatural component to peace that transcends our comprehension of the natural, that is supernatural in capacity. Amen. We were praying for people at the beginning of service today. And it may look stupid, but I don't care. When I pray for people, I react to the anointing. I may raise my voice. I may step back. I may wobble. When the anointing hits them, it usually hits me first.
Amen.
And that world won't understand that. They could watch the video and say, what a stupid guy. He's just acting silly. No, I'm just flowing with the Spirit of God. I'm just letting things happen. And it's supernatural, the power that's hitting us. But God's got a peace that we're all to carry that we can intentionally release where we go. I think we should be trying it.
Yes.
Practicing it. And again, no show of hands, but how many practice when you go someplace, I release my peace? Probably very few.
Yeah.
But we have that right, especially if they perceive us. Mm-hmm. I started years ago. I wish I remembered every time. I don't always remember it. Doing something that I never heard anybody teach on until I met Lance Wall now. I'm a small now, about 2016 or 17. No, 2006 or 7, up in New York. And he's teaching just a small group of us. And he said, when I like shake hands with somebody, I intentionally release the power of God into the world. That's what I do. If I shake your hand, I'm going to say, God, let the anointing transfer to them right now. They don't know it. Just let it touch them right now and bring change. Bring an awakening. Bring an energizing. It's intentional. Release the power of God. And we can use this. We can do this with peace. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Look at John. Chapter 14. Now John chapter 14. This is soon before Jesus went to the cross. Look at verse number 27. Let's go straight there. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Now, how many believe that Jesus probably had a pretty good form of peace?
Yeah.
My peace. See, I've experienced human love, natural love, worldly love. I've experienced God's love. God's love is better. So is God's peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In other words, Jesus said, I've got a peace the world can't produce. Barney Miller reruns will not produce the peace of God. There's some shows I couldn't watch to relax anyway. I'm picky about what shows I watch. One of my most least liked shows was called Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh,
I didn't. It's a strife fest. Screaming, hollering, bickering, backbiting, manipulating. Can't watch that. Here's one. I Love Lucy. I don't.
No.
What a scheming woman. How they can stay married, I don't know. You know, in the show.
Right.
Backstabbing.
I like.
I'm hoping this message will have you repent.
I'm with you, John.
I can't watch shows that glorify people operating outside the blessing. Just no thank you. And of course, anything on ID channel and shark shows are included in that. He says, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. No worry and no fear. Your heart be in trouble. Don't let this thing give a hold of your heart and dominate your life. Refuse to fear. Get the peace that Jesus promised and you won't. I don't worry anymore. There's a time what we're going through now would have just destroyed me as far as, I shouldn't say destroyed, it would have really set me back as far as, are we ever going to get a building? I have peace. I have peace whether we got one or not.
Right.
I'm not moved by circumstances. How about you?
Amen.
I'm moved by the Word.
Yes.
And we keep our peace. We guard our peace. We stay in the river. And he says, I've got a peace the world can't give you. Not as the world gives, give unto you. John 16. John 16. Look at verse 33, Jesus speaking again. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, say in him, you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world.
Amen.
He took that crown of thorns soon after this and purchased a covenant of peace for us. In the world is tribulation. In God there's peace. But get this. If we keep going to the world for our rest, our soul rest, if we keep going to the computer, the television, the entertainment, and everything else, which not sin, but they're not supernatural, we'll stay with a naturally influenced soul. God's got better. Romans chapter 8, we're about to wind us up. We're halfway. It was entertaining to me anyway. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 6. Paul writing, for to be carnally minded, in other words, you're thinking in alignment with the world. Carnal doesn't mean sin, it means flesh. It's natural. To be naturally minded is death. Death to the supernatural forces of God. Doesn't mean you die. It just means it's going to cut off some things in your life. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's a peace available that if we wean off the natural, tap into the supernatural, we can live in it. And I'm telling you what, it's good. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, common passage for us. Two verses to go. Keep your peace. Second Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 18. For we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, it's talking about us looking in the Word. Having the Word is Jesus in print form. Beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. The image of Jesus from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Weaning. Let me read. I think I wrote this down. Let me read it again. Yes. Our level of natural escapes, our predetermined ways we want to get our own rest, is indirectly proportional to the glory we tap into. Shall I say that again? How many want the glory? You can't go into more glory than you choose supernatural or kingdom or spiritual routes. I'm trying to think of the right example. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Pike's Peak. How many people have been up Pike's Peak? Had you been up it twice? The first and the last. She will never seen her have a meltdown like she did going up that mountain. It was she was like, just something hit her. And she didn't like looking down 1,000 feet with no guardrails. Just didn't care for it. I thought it was fun. I did it again on a motorcycle in a few years. Anyway, there's only one way up Pike's Peak. There's one way down. There's another way, but it's not healthy. Actually, there's a train you can take up and down. I forgot about that little train you can take up. Some kind of trolley. But one path, right? And in the same way, there's one path to the things of God. And you got to make a change to choose that route.
Yes.
To go from glory to glory. We went. Now, Philippians, last verse. Philippians 4. And look at verse 11. This is Paul writing. Not that I speak in respect of want. He's talking about the Macedonian sowing in his ministry. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul, no matter what's going on around him, he's keeping his peace. He's guarding it. I mean, Paul had some really, how can I say, unpleasant downturns. I'd say beaten with rods, stoned and left for dead, right? Fasting, shipwrecks, all the things he mentioned.
Yeah.
Those would not be pleasant. Not to mention imprisonments.
Yeah.
In the lower dungeons.
Yes. Yeah.
Singing praise to God.
Yeah.
He said, I learned to be content.
Yeah.
My guess is he wasn't spending a lot of time on his iPad.
Amen.
His iPhone. Android. Sorry. He wasn't getting caught up in natural escapes. He was tapping into something supernatural. He says, in tapping into this, I am content no matter what's going on around me. I like to say this. I've been up here in Kentucky 48 years now. I've learned in whatever state I'm in Kentucky to be content. I travel to Alabama, I can still be content. You have to work it harder if you're going up to New Jersey, but California, I guess. But there's a peace we can tap into. But you got to. We've heard this twice the last 2 weeks. You probably need to rehearse it some. How many times do you have to hear about healing until you really realize it's probably something you ought to go after?
Yeah.
Quite a few times.
Yeah.
Pastor Calvin hammered it. He hammered you over and over again. God's bringing us into new revelations to go after. Amen? Who wants peace? Pursue it. Father, we thank you for your word, spirit, your paths, programs, kingdom principles. And I declare this church according to the words we speak. There are none in this place sick. None in pain, none in fear. There's no lack. We have our new facility. We have all the finances we need to build it, to prepare it. Our harvest comes in of souls. We finish our work. There's no oppression. We have no fear. We're content in every situation. We tap into supernatural peace. And there's no strife. We refuse it. Amen. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.